141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Bang smack in the middle of a big European midweek for Scottish football. Hibs are underway against the might of Aston Villa and they are a goal down at Easter Road. Rangers are exactly where they were against PSV last season, taking a 2-2 draw to Eindhoven for the second leg. And Celtic are reportedly out to extend the contract of Rio Hatate. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me tonight, two men on a pay-as-you-play contract in here, it's Marvin Bartley and Kenny Miller, two ex-Hibs men as well. Don't say we don't think these things through, it's all planned very carefully. Will you be able to take your eyes off it though, Marvin Bartley, and concentrate on the phone-in?
I'm going to try, Gordon. I am going to try, especially now we're on the TV and people can see us. So I'm going to try and remain professional, but not the greatest of starts for Hibs. You know, 1-0 down already. Hope they can keep themselves in the game and, you know, do a Rangers yesterday and potentially get a draw out of this.
Well, it'll be one might ask, big ask for Lee Johnson and his team, because this Aston Villa team are all over them at the moment. It's, 1-0. I think even getting away with a one goal deficit going at the second leg wouldn't be a bad result. It would still keep the tie alive. So, but all to do in this game, like I said, Aston Villa are a top level team. So it's going to be a big ask for Hibs tonight.
01419511025. It doesn't have to change too much for you. We're still here 6 till 8. We're still talking about whatever football subject is on your mind. Of course, it will be sprinkled with updates from Easter Road. And Marvin's right, the fact that the live stream is on now, it's going to be great. You're going to be a meme. You're going to be 10 memes by the end of the evening, because we could have the anguish, the despair. We'll get the joy if Hibs manage to do something, as unlikely as it looks at the moment. You'll be all over the place.
Yeah, so no,
I look forward to that.
We want the joy, Gordon. We definitely want the joy. We don't want the tears from me, do we? Live on this.
Well, that'll be when you Kenny lose. That'll be when you lose it. Beat the pundit, I think. So 01419511025 away from Easter Road. What about last night then, Rangers fans? It felt like the game had everything. There was a lot to like by the looks of it. There was bits not to like. It's 2-2 again going over to Eindhoven. There was some spectacular goals, some defensive lapses. It was all there. So quite simply, what did you make of last night, Rangers fans? It is that simple. Pick up that phone right now, please, and let us know. 01419511025. Celtic fans, you're just waiting patiently for your European adventure to start. You've got that luxury of going straight into the group stages. Lots of chat today about Rio Hatate's contract negotiations. Leo Labada, I think, in that mix as well. So again, all your thoughts on that, Celtic fans, please. 01419511025. And you were at Ibrox last night, so you're perfectly placed to get involved in this. It felt like it did have a bit of everything, didn't it?
I felt the second half was an exciting cup tie. It was an exciting game of football. Rangers were way better in the second than what they were in the first. But what they did in the first is what they had to do. They had to defend well, they had to be organised, they had to stay together, they had to take their moment. And for long spells of the first half, it didn't look like there was going to actually be a moment until right on the stroke of half time, where Seymour scored an absolute wonderful goal. Great pressure high up, which I felt where PSV were vulnerable. Good pressure, and then the finish was just sensational.
That was one of the great, he needed that moment, wasn't it?
I didn't want to say that, Gordon, but you have. So it wasn't
it wasn't
having the best first half, I would say that. But as an attacking force, Rangers weren't up to too much in the first half, because PSV are a really, really good team, and they imposed themselves on Rangers last night. But in the moments where they could have transitioned well, that's maybe potentially why Seymour was chosen to play, you know, with his pace and his power and looking to stretch the game. But it wasn't quite happening for him in the first half until that moment. So it was, what a moment it was. It was an absolutely wonderful
goal,
finish. It was.
Right, go on then, 01419511025. Whilst you Rangers fans get your calls in, and please do, it's a simple question. What did you make of last night? What did you take away from it? Whilst you line those calls up, the official update from Easter Road is Hibs 0 Aston Villa 1 with 23 and a half minutes gone. Marvin Bartley, how would you sum it up?
I think Hibs have had a couple of chances going forward. I think they've probably got a little bit too excited before the final ball, because they've seen a couple of players be caught offside in basic kind of offside traps set by Aston Villa. The goal that Hibs conceded, they'll be very disappointed with. You know, Ollie Watkins is in the box against three Hibs defenders, yet none of them get contact on him. And to be fair, it's a fantastic header put in the back of the net, but I think you see Lee Johnson shouting after towards the defenders, asking what's going on, because it shouldn't happen. You know, you can't give a player of that level that sort of opportunity, and that's the reason they're 1-0 down.
I mean, it wasn't super, John McGinn. You might have his say later on. It was Ollie Watkins. There's a guy who scored, you know, 16 goals in the English Premier League last season. Kenny, I think most of them actually in the second half of the season. That is the level Hibs are up against. But at the same time, it was such a basic goal to lose, wasn't it? It's not like you're sliced apart by the brilliance of a superior opponent.
And they have been sliced apart as well, so that's where it will be ever so disappointing for Lee Johnson and his team, because this is a top team, you know, so they can do it and they have done it. But from a basic, it was a bit of play, a ball out wide and a cross. And like Marv says, there's three centre-backs in there tonight. Watkins pulls on to the first one initially, and he just takes a, not even great movement, he just takes a wee step back. Well, I suppose it is great movement, because he takes a step back in between the middle centre-back and Fish, the right side centre-back. And to be fair, the ball does land right in between the two, and it's a wonderful cross. But you would still expect the Hibs defenders to be more aggressive in their positioning and actually at least making a bit of contact to try and put Watkins off. But it was a great header. He just guides it, gets enough on it in off the back post. It was really, really good. Top striking from Watkins.
I'm going to find some positives. It does feel like Hibs have got into decent areas, Marvin. Just maybe that it's that next bit. I feel like they've got a corner at the moment. It feels like they've got into the Villa box.
Well, that was a massive positive enough. I was about to give you. They've got a corner, Gordon. I think it's an end in a goal, mate. They have got into some, like I said, attacking areas. I just think, you know, a couple of times Martin Boyle's gone a little bit too early and ran offside. But listen, Johan seems to be playing as the highest one. It looks like they're just trying to stretch Villa whenever they possibly can. You know, and almost trying to play on a counter-attack. I don't know if that's a game plan or they're just being forced into it, because, you know, Villa are dominating the ball kind of in that middle third and Villa's own defensive third.
Yeah, Hibs, that won't. Martin Boyle might have a penalty shout. He goes down, ref says no. What are your thoughts on that?
It's not like him to go down, is it, Martin?
Well, there was a coming together, wasn't there?
That was you know,
it's kind of shoulder to shoulder, but because it's the attacking player, I mean, there's no risk, and VAR will have a look at it, but I don't think it was...
I don't think it was too much in it, yeah.
Martin Boyle's, are you trying to say there's a reputation there?
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
not in the back of that left leg, no?
Well, listen, if they give it, I'll be delighted. He initiates the contact there.
He's actually tripped the ball player.
Play up and then goes down.
Good try, though, Gordon. We'll have the positivity to try and get our teams a penalty. But not in that case.
Right, go on then. Let's bring in Graham, who's a Rangers fan. Were you at the game last night, Graham?
I was at the game last night, and I thought Rangers were really quite good. I know they did a lot of the ball, but our bookkeepers no hardly anything today. And we were a wee bit unlucky with the gold. But Kenny, see the point I was trying to make? See three goals we have lost this year. He's playing well all round, but Big John Souter, mate, that's three goals we've conceded, and three of them were kind of errors for him. Kilmarnock, last week against Luzerne, caught under the ball. Yesterday, caught under the ball again. I know he's over all round games, okay, but I think it should maybe have a look at that for an hour centre half.
Listen, I think Rangers will have a look for another centre back, Graham. Whether it happens or not remains to be seen, but I think they will definitely be in the market for a left-sided centre back to at least compete with John Souter. I think Conor Goldson's a fixture. I thought he was absolutely outstanding last night. To be honest, so again, like you say, generally his game's pretty good, but like he has been maybe involved. I wouldn't say directly responsible. I mean, Luke De Jong's a big, powerful player, you know, and he was in contact. He just got out-muscled and out. And there's an element of luck to the goal as well, where it went off the shoulder or the back and into the corner. But I know, I understand what you're saying, Graham, but again, to enforce that point, I think Rangers will be in the market for another centre-back for at least cover, if not a starting partner for Conor Goldson.
I think fair play to Graham, because he's sort of pointing out that difference between kind of general all-round play, where I think John Souter, most people feel, has been good, and yet, but you know, Graham's pointing out a couple of incidents which are obviously big moments. And it's funny because we'll maybe get to up the other end. There's been a lot of criticism over Cyril Dessers, like generally all round. Like, if you're watching, if you're just using your eyes, are you seeing much? But then you say, well, hold on a minute, he's now racking up goals and assists. Is John Souter the defensive equivalent of that?
Yeah, it's difficult. And as Kenny said with the goal yesterday, at least he was, you know, attempting to get contact, so he's trying to do the right things. And listen, it is a lucky goal in the end. But no, I do understand what Graham's saying, because again, yes, his all-round play has been fine. But as a centre-half, at times, you know, goals are going to go in and around you. I don't think that he needs to come out of the team. I think he's a good player. Definitely, I think, I agree, Rangers will look for a left-sided centre-half to put maybe a bit of competition, you know, down that side. But I wouldn't look at Souter and say, you know, he needs to come out of the team. He seems to be struggling. It just, you know, it's a bit of luck sometimes, Graham. I know the ball bounces off him, you know, on another goal as well, on a long throw. But, you know, I wouldn't say he's having a bad game at all. And I don't think it'd be a massive worry for Bill.
Right, big picture then, Graham. How are you fixed here? What, I mean, you happy with that result last night? You know, you mentioned, I think possession stats, you're right, it was about 70-30 in PSV's favour. As you quite rightly point out, it's about what you do with it, and maybe they didn't have loads of shots on Jack Butland's target. How do you feel overall?
Before the game, I took a 2-2. But you're disappointed now because of that second goal. But I think the Rangers are progressing quite well. I think you can see they're getting better. I mean, even Dessers, I know you never did a great game, but the ball through for, and then he made the goal on Saturday for Daniil. Some of his passing was okay. It's just needs to, I don't know if he's unfit or no, but I think we're progressing. I think we're getting there. Maybe take another couple of weeks before you see the best of him.
Fair.
I think it's a really fair assessment, Graham, to be honest. I mean, the one thing I would say about last night's game is you're not going to be... I think Rangers are a good team. You know, they've got good players. They are well coached and well organised. So you would expect them to be able to stand up to a real test, which they did last night. It's the other side, which I think has been... A lot of fans have been frustrated how why they've not been able to break teams down with more ease. Again, you think of Morton at 2-1. I mean, again, for me, it probably should have been 4 or 5. And it was the same, obviously, at Kilmarnock on opening day of the season. They just struggled to have any create any real chances or break Kilmarnock down. Same with Servette as well when it was down to 10 men. You know, so there was, you could understand that. Last night was a completely different game. This was a PSV team, a top PSV team, who came and imposed their game onto Rangers. They had, like you say, 70% of the ball. The good thing about it was, Graham, as you're right, Jack Butland had a few saves to make from shots for distance. Their best chance created was the first goal. It was wonderful play initially for the centre-back, and then the over for Saibari was the vision and the awareness to know where his teammate was outstanding, and then a good finish. But apart from that, they never really cut Rangers open too much. There wasn't really too many clear-cut chances. If anything, Rangers had the better chances. So I think it is finely poised. It's two good teams. Rangers can definitely score across the 9-12, and there's no doubt about it. They've got good firepower, and I think Dessers, again, these players need time. But I think that's 2 goals and maybe 3 or 4 assists that he's got in his first 5 or 6 games. So, like you say, numbers are good. You know, it's just for what you're seeing in the performances of maybe not being as good as what people would hope. But I did see improvements last night as well.
Kassim is the good example, like you mentioned. I was doing what everybody else does. I'm scrolling through Twitter as the game goes on. There was not a Rangers fan anywhere on this planet who wasn't suggesting that he maybe should come off at halftime. And then he goes and produces that, and what a finish it was.
Well, you know what? I was one of them as well. Not on Twitter, because I'm not on Twitter. But what I was thinking, he was having a tough night. I felt he needed to come off for him. Mm-hmm. You know, because the fans were getting so much on him. And like I've said many a time, it can be a really unforgiving place when things are maybe not going as well as what these 47,500 Rangers fans were there last night. They're not getting it the way they want it. So I felt it might have been right to actually hook him off for the sake. But then up his steps and puts one in the top
finish,
corner. It was an incredible finish. You know, it fell nicely for him, so there wasn't too much thinking to go on. I think similar to the second goal with Matondo, the ball broke perfectly for Sima, and he's just right in front of him, and he guides into the top. It's not an easy finish, because you can easily get that one wrong, but he caught it absolutely perfect.
How
right
satisfied should Rangers be then, Marvin? This is kind of what I meant at the start when I said it had everything. I didn't mean the game, but almost like that roller coaster, as Graham says, they would have taken 2-2 at before the game, but yet there was a lot of negativity about the first half. PSV had all the ball, and yet Rangers could have been the ones that won it, you know, in the end, as Aston Villa go 2-0 up. Did you see Marvin Bartley's face?
No, I'm listening to your question.
I'm telling you, I think Hibs had been doing all right as well, and that just shows you 2-0, and it's Ollie Watkins again. So Rangers, in the end, maybe were the team that felt they could have nicked it.
Yeah, but I think there is a lot of positive things to come out of that game. I think Rangers showed a different side to themselves, because I think if you look at the rest of the games that they've played domestically, especially, they've dominated the ball. Yesterday, they had to be comfortable without having the ball. And as Kenny said, Rangers had the best chances within that. So possession stats, you know, they can be put out there and people say 70% PSV, 30% Rangers. But I think they were comfortable within that. They had a good structure. As Kenny said, they were well set up, and they still managed to score 2 goals as well. In terms of kind of Seaman and the goal that he got, it's a sign of a good player and a big player who believes in themselves, because as Kenny said, it's easy to go the other way. When that pressure's on you and the fans are on you, it's easy to sky that one or not take the shot on. But that's where you sign players, you know. I know he's came in on loan from Brighton. That's why Michael Beale's brought him into the football club. But I think there's a lot of positives to take from that game. I think you take the 2-2 definitely. They're taking it before the game. And again, they try and build on that now in the away leg next week. And again, it's going to be one of those games they're not going to have a lot of the ball. But when they do have the ball, that's what's important. Michael Beale will be saying to his players, listen, you showed me a different side today and I'm proud of you for that. Next week, can we go out there, win the game? By we're going to have to play the same way. But when we do press together, turn it over and, you know, try and make opportunities.
I mean, Graham, sometimes we scramble around for an example that's loosely relevant. Rangers were in this exact same situation last season against the same opponent. Can it be done? How confident are you that Rangers can do this next week?
Quite confident, mate. We've played them 4 times in Europe, they've never beat us. We were the first time to beat them in their own ground and they've never beat us in a European team. So we'll march on this done next week, I think.
There we go. And in Eindhoven Super Scoreboard tonight, they're saying, records are there to be broken, or whatever the Dutch for that is, I must admit. It's Ollie Watkins again, Marvin, and I don't know if, did they use the expression ragdolled in the Netherlands football speak, but what Ollie Watkins has just done to Josh Campbell at the back post is not pretty.
No, I've deleted it from my mind already, Gordon. I just know that it's 2-0 after 35 minutes. And I think it's going to be a long old evening now for Hibs. That was the fear, you know, conceding an early goal, but being 2-0 down already is going to be, it's going to be tough to get back
Hibs
into this.
Hibs have been fairly brave, haven't they? It's not like they've just totally sat in. They've given it a go. We said they've got into good positions, and then it's 2 goals from crosses.
Well, that's the problem. Like, you can be, I was saying, being set up and, you know, showing them into the right areas, etc. But when that cross comes in there, and listen, Lee Johnson would have known crosses were going to come in the box, hence he's got 3 centre-halves. I know it was Josh Campbell that was caught out at the back post, but they're the goals that you don't want to concede. You know, from set plays or crosses, they're the two things where you should be concentrated. If someone plays through you or scores from 25 yards or it's fantastic play and they cut you open, you accept that. But the 2 goals they've conceded today have not been great at all, and Villa haven't had to do that much to score, which is a worry.
Thank you to Graham. Stephen is a Rangers fan. Safe to say he has spotted some room for improvement ahead of next week, and you can hear it next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Listen and watch. Check the Twitter feed at Clyde SSB.
Are you looking for a Columbus car dealership built on tradition and trust? Buyers Auto, family-owned since 1897, offers top new and pre-owned vehicles. Visit us or shop online at buyersauto.com. Buyers Auto, driving the next generation of buyers.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Kenny Miller and Marvin Bartley are here, and the good news for these two former Hibs players, I was going to say, is that Hibs have not conceded again, and yet they have. Can we get that camera zoomed in on Marvin Bartley, please?
Gordon, stop talking. Every time you talk, they score.
Hey. And it's another cross as well.
Yeah,
Marv. This one was well carved up right enough. It was well created this time and stood up at the back post.
I reckon there's 8 Hibs players in that box though when that cross comes in. And I've never seen Bailey score a header.
It was weird about this, right? The scoreline is kind of what people said it would be and what people feared it would be. But the way the goals are coming about is just...
That is unacceptable. He runs off...
It's basic, isn't it?
It's like he runs off a beater there. He switches off. And then all of a sudden, look, he's at the back post by himself.
There might be a wee offside shout just on there, Digne.
I agree.
Looking along the right.
Yeah,
it looked tight. Look tight.
Kenny's right, Kenny, he's off, mate. I agree with you.
I'm not confident, man.
Come on, VAR.
Right on the line.
Do the Scottish coefficient a turn and see what we can come up with here.
I think he agrees. Johnson agrees with Kenny. He's waiting for the call.
Is that what you... play on 3-0 to Aston Villa. It's not half time.
Yep.
Right, let's put the next caller on.
Yeah, Stephen's a Rangers fan in Coatbridge. What did you make of last night, Stephen?
Yeah, how are you doing, guys? Hope you're all well.
Thank you.
Just regarding the game last night, it was about kind of Tavernier's positioning and the way he was playing and the amount of space he was giving the left winger. I think over this season, just the games alone, that he's not kicked a ball any of the games this season at all. I think last night was a shocker from him, the amount of space the left winger. Stevie Wonder could have saw the space the left winger had. It was the amount of space he's given away constantly, and it's been every game this season. He's getting cut wide open every time. There's no positioning from him at all. He's just lagging back there all the time. I know he gets goals for us. I know he tries, but he's not been at the races this season at all. And last night was just wild from him. I thought it's probably his worst game in a long, long time last night. The positioning was awful. I just wanted to know what you thought about that.
You know, again, I'm going to disagree to an extent, Stephen. I get what you're saying, and it's been these types of things have been thrown at Tav since he's came to the club. I thought they defended pretty well last night as a unit. It was against probably one of their best players, if not the best player that he had, and I thought they kept lying pretty quiet, to be honest with you, across the course of the game. I thought the left-back Dest, the guy that came in, he was maybe more of a threat going forward. I didn't think Lang had a good night at all. And any time they did get into that space that you're talking about, which sometimes, not all the time, by the way, because he does get caught out of position, it's not always because he's asked to go and be the offensive outlet on that right flank. His big mate, Conor Goldson, was there to cover him, and that's his job. You know, so I get it. Sometimes it looks there is too much space to exploit, but when you're asked to play a certain role for the team, and he needs to be that attacking outlet the way Michael plays his fullbacks and how he also plays his wingers, that he needs to give that outlet. What I would say on it is, I actually don't think he's actually been as effective going forward this season. So he's maybe in between that kind of the defensive position and the offensive position at the moment, because I like seeing him up there because he gives so much. Again, he's part of the reason Rangers are in the tie, because he scores the equaliser against Servette last week. So it's I absolutely get what you're saying, Stephen, but as a defensive unit, there's partnerships within it, and I felt last night his big mate Goldson, maybe if you want to call it like what Stephen might, maybe dug him out a couple of holes because he was getting across and covering the runners that were going in behind him. But again, I think he's asked to do a particular set of jobs for the team, and sometimes that leads him to maybe being caught out of position.
I do think Stephen will have company on that. Again, I noticed quite a lot of Rangers fans last night finding lots of positives, of course, but suggesting that if there was one area they think they'll need to brush up on, it was both fullback areas.
Well, see, if it's only one area, then they'll be absolutely delighted then. All right, two areas then.
Yeah, but it's, like Kenny said, it's the way the fullbacks are asked to play, especially, you know, when Rangers are attacking, they're asked to be the players that give the whip. So anyone who plays against Rangers, you know, on the counter, you're saying, can we exploit these holes? And that's why Goldson has to be switched on to cover Tavernier. That's why at times it looked like he is out of position, because when Rangers are attacking, he has a job to go wide. I think under Gio, he was slightly narrower. It was almost like in a kind of number six position higher up the pitch, or say a number eight position. So it was a lot harder to counterattack them, but Bill wants him a lot wider. So the flip side of that is, when teams turn the ball over, he's going to always be chasing back, and he's going to need Goldson to cover him. Listen, Tavernier is one of those that, you know, he's kind of like Marmite, isn't he, in terms of how people view him and how people see him. But I think, like Kenny's saying there, it is the role he has to play within the team. So he's not always going to be in a perfect defensive position. You know, he's not going to be, because he's trying to help with the attacks. He's trying to, you know, stay wide. But again, Goldson has to be switched on to that.
And by it, it's not to say he's not in a position at all, Stephen, because yes, because I felt the chance where Servette went right through the middle and Butland had to make that big save, Tav should have been round. He should have been round, and he should have been closer to Goldson, and that space shouldn't have been there to exploit. So I'm not saying he's in the right positions every time, or his role in the team gives him an excuse to be
always
in that.
Do
it's
it,
not
yeah.
at all, because you're right, Rangers have lost a lot of goals over the time through that type of area, in that area of the pitch. But I think that the positives of James Tavernier are way outweigh the negatives of that. And this is a common theme that's been running for years and years with Tav. And I just don't buy into it as much as sometimes the obvious spaces to exploit are there that everybody can see.
What do you think, Stephen?
I agree with you to an extent. I get Goldson and Suter. I thought Goldson and Suter were good last night. I thought they were decent. I think you're asking Goldson to do too much. He's leaving. There are players coming through as well, and you're leaving Goldson. Where's it to go? Is it to come back? Is it to go for the left winger? It's leaving that wide open every time. I get what you're saying. Tav's been brilliant for the club. He's done excellent. I don't think he's kicked a ball this season at all. I think he's been poor this season, and what he's done has been phenomenal for the club. He scores goals. He's high up the park. He does put the very good balls in, and he does play. He has some fantastic games, but he's not kicked a ball this season. And I think it is giving Goldson and Suter a lot of work to do. But I just think, well, last night was just a shocker from him. I couldn't get it at all. I was screaming at him, but it's just, I agree with what you're saying to an extent, but I think...
Stephen, do you think it's the level that you were playing at yesterday why it was seemed so exposed? Do you think, you know, about being disrespectful domestically, do you think it's not, you know, as easy to see it because, you know, Rangers do dominate the ball? Do you feel because of yesterday you only had 30% of the ball, that's why it's more exposed?
No, I think it's happened all season. You see that area all the time. You see them coming through there. Our teams have exploited that this season. You've seen it this season. They've exploited that area and put the ball into that area. And He's nowhere near it. He's nowhere near the player getting through in the left wing. Any time this season, he hasn't been near it. I know it's not like him, but I just think he's had a poor start to this season.
Mm. What did please you last night, Stephen?
I thought Cantwell had a good 60 minutes. I thought he was a bit unlucky in the second half, not to be sent off because his slide tackle was a bit wild. Maybe in another day, we'd have got a second yellow for that. I thought Suter and Goldson and Butland, they kind of held it together at the back. Dessers had a few points. He was decent. I thought it was very quiet from Raskin last night. There was a few things. The scoreline was excellent. Do you know what I mean? I'm not going to lie, I expected PSV to come over here and do a job on us. But we got the goals, we got very good goals. Matondo looked very good when he came on. So there is positives to take, and I would like to see Matondo start against him next week. It was just, he's looked very well when he's come on this season. He's playing me a bit of confidence there, and maybe that's what the guys needed. So you never know. Stranger things have happened.
And be honest, were you suggesting that Sima might be better off being substituted at half time before he smashed in that wonder goal?
100%.
I thought you might. Marvin is cheering because it's half time.
Yeah, that means Villa can't score.
Villa can't score for the next 15 Regroup. Minutes. A few points to run through then. The Stephen, in terms of positives, felt that Todd Cantwell was one of them. Stephen felt he maybe was fortunate not to be sent off. Are you agreeing or disagreeing with some of that assessment?
I would probably agree, yep. Probably gets himself involved in too many of these silly situations that he doesn't need to get involved in. He got a lot of bookings last season as well when he had first came in. But his performances, again, have carried on for last season. He was excellent. And then it was a different type of game, like Marvin says, where Rangers had to be probably a lot more dogged and determined to defend a lot more than what they normally need to do domestically. But he's a player, as much as a really, really talented footballer, he does put his shift in as well.
Yeah, you impressed with him?
Yeah, definitely. You know, we spoke about him when he was coming up, and obviously, you know, seeing him play at Norwich and at Bournemouth as well. His ability, you could never question it. You know, it was kind of his hunger and his appetite for it. And he always felt coming to Rangers, the size of the club and him going out at Ibrox, that was going to reignite absolutely everything for him. And I think he's shown that. I do think he was lucky yesterday not to get a second booking. But, you know, in terms of his performance and what he offered, and as Kenny said, not only Rangers as a team showed a different side, he did yesterday as well. And his work rate off the ball and then his quality on it was, I think, was there for all to see.
Thank you very much to Stephen. Plenty more to come in terms of reaction to last night's game at Ibrox. It's just a bit of a weird schedule. We've not had many 5:45 kickoffs to contend with. It was billed as the glamour tie. Some people call it a battle of Britain. It's been a tough 45 minutes for Hibs. Andrew McLean is there.
Yeah, Hibs 0, Aston Villa 3. The half-time score, the Premier League side with a commanding lead at the break after two headers from Ollie Watkins and another from Leon Bailey. I was actually relatively impressed with Hibs' shape and discipline in the opening 15 minutes. They kept Villa's top players quiet, they limited their chances, but it really started to turn around 16 minutes in. Eli Yuan was running back towards his own corner for some reason, tried to pay a blind pass towards his own box. That allowed Villa to work it into a shooting area. David Marshall then saved from a deflected Moussa Diaby strike, but I think that then let the visitors get their tails up, and after that they really showed how dangerous they can be. Luka Digne with a cross from the left onto the head of Ollie Watkins, and he did really well to steer that header into the bottom corner for 1-0. He should have got a second as well moments later, another headed chance. This time it was a John McGinn cross from the left. He was free, somehow headed that one over. Hibs did get into some good attacking areas using their pace at the top end, but as Marvin said, you know, they're just getting a bit too excited at times, making runs too early, not picking the right pass either. And then 33 minutes in, Hibs frustratingly undone from a corner. It was Douglas Luiz with an in-swinger. It was flicked onto the back post, and there was Ollie Watkins who headed in for 2-0. And that really was their downfall in the whole of the first half, just not defending their box from crosses. And once again, 42 minutes in, Luka Dean gets to the byline. He hangs it up at the back post, and there's Leon Bailey this time, almost unopposed, and he got it in there to head past David Marshall for 3-0. Watkins almost got his hat-trick right before the break as well, but dragged a shot wide after running onto a ball over the top. It's been a strange game because Hibs haven't been torn apart over and over again, but it's just been poor defending at key moments for them so far in this game. The half-time score at Easter Road is Hibs 0, Aston Villa 3.
Marvin, you're a big Hibs man. How are you feeling?
I'm happy it's half time. You know, that's the one positive from what we've just seen there. I just think the goals have been avoidable. I think that'd be the most frustrating thing for them and Lee Johnson. I said it earlier in the show, if you get cut open by, you know, good play, etc., or a fantastic hit from, you know, a distance, then you accept that. But I just think those goals are avoidable. I think they're set with three at the back because they're expecting balls coming in the box. I think, you know, Obita will be disappointed with himself because he's naturally a left back. I know he's towards the second, you know, the end of that first half, they changed kind of their shape and he seemed to be higher up, but he has to be in a defensive position in order to, you know, stop Bailey getting that free header at the back post. My worry is that Hibs have had a lack of ball in that last 25 minutes, so they're going to begin to tire in the second half. And when that happens, if Villa freshen it up or their players take it up a notch, this could be four or five very, very easily.
It is a strange one, as Andrew says, Ken. It's three headers, and in a weird, there could easily have been a first half that plays out where Hibs get ripped apart over and over again, and but the scoreline isn't as severe as this, if that makes any sense.
No, it does make sense. But what I would say is, like, the goals have been disappointing, right? But Aston Villa are playing through them. You know, they're playing through them. They're breaking that midfield line a lot. There's been a lot of blocks and shots for around about 18, 16 yards that have had to be defended well, which they have done, and they've put their body on the line. But like I say, the goals are really, really disappointing. But take that first one, we're just watching it back at the moment, and it's one versus three or four in the box. And it is, as much as the ball's right on the money and as a clever little kind of half-steppy movement for Watkins and a really good header, it'll be really disappointing between Fish and Hanlon that they've not been able to deal with that. So it's going to be a long night. I anticipated this type of game against this level of opposition because it's not just one step up, it's a right few steps up when you're playing a team at this level.
And now what do you do, Marvin? Because it's been quite brave in a sense from Hibs. You know, they've not set up super defensive, they've not parked the bus, and in a weird way that's also not necessarily why they've conceded, but they're three goals down. So you know, what do you do now? We fall into this trap, don't we, of thinking there's a switch that you can flick where you say, that's alright lads, let's just go back to the wall and we won't concede again. But they could easily concede goals like that by, you know, sitting backs to the wall as well.
Yeah, well, that's the problem, Gordon. I don't think that they have the players in order to sit, you know, backs to the wall, because as Kenny said there, they've got, you know, four players v one Aston Villa attacker, and he gets his head on the ball, not only that, he scores. So what more can you do defensively in terms of numbers? So I think you're better off just maybe even trying to press a little bit higher and trying to go after them. Listen, Kenny said that they're playing through them anyway. At this moment in time, Aston Villa are probably playing 5 or 6 out of 10. They're not having to do too much to be winning 3-0. You might as well try and give them a problem going the other way and try and get ball and Johan on the ball a little bit more and try and be more aggressive with what you're doing.
Okay, 01419511025. It's a good time to call, get your reactions into last night's game at Ibrox or anything else that you've got for us. And whilst you do, let me tell you about this.
Oh, you're kidding me on.
Clyde One. Yes, Kerry from Blantyre was at work when she got the call earlier.
Just got engaged recently. We're trying to plan a wedding. My partner, Kieran, he's working away to save up for the wedding, so hopefully he can come home a bit sooner now.
Definitely.
Get yourself back, Kieran. There's 28 grand towards the wedding. I mean, I have seen some wedding prices these days. That might cover half of it. I'm sure it will be a great occasion. Well done to them. And it's your chance to win 29,000 tomorrow when we make the next call. To enter now, text YES to 61025. That's YES to 61025. If you get the call from us after 3 p.m. Thursday the 24th of August, answer within 5 rings. Make sure you know the correct cash register amount. Obviously, the texts are £2 plus your standard network rate. Online entries £2, or you can call 0330 880 4523. The calls are charged at a standard rate and it is over 18s only. All the rules for this Hits Radio Network Scotland competition are on our website. It's good luck from us. Reminder to text YES to 61025 for your chance to win £29,000.
141-951-1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Marvin Bartley and Kenny Miller are here, and the good news is Marvin, Hibs have not conceded again because it's still half time.
Well, that's been the best 12 minutes, the last 12 minutes for Hibs. Been fantastic, mate, with the warm up and stuff. But no, it's a big second half for them, isn't it? We've been speaking kind of, you know, with the cameras off during the break. It's a massive, massive second half for them. Hopefully Villa, you know, take their foot off the pedal and start to save some energy for the weekend. But the fear is if Villa start bringing the subs on and they want to make an impact, could be a long 45, Gordon.
We'll keep you up to speed on anything that's happening. Of course, Ibrox last night, there was lots happening there. It was a breathless game. And let's hear a bit from Michael Buell before we bring in our next caller. He's been giving his thoughts on the draw, which leaves the tie poised before that return leg in Eindhoven.
The tie's evenly set. I don't think that them and their coach are travelling back home thinking this is a job done. They all know how hard physically that game was. Listen, it's finely tuned. It's the only time we've had to defend. It's the only time. Tonight was a different type of game. There were spells in the game where we really had to defend. We had less possession, and it gives you different things and different qualities to show. So it was the best performance in a certain way. We've played every 3 days, and every 3 days the team gets judged with 9 new players coming in. So yeah, I would like a little bit more time, but I get everyone wants it now. I'm at the front of that queue. No one's more frustrated than me, but sometimes I've got to be positive about it. Tonight was a step in the right direction.
Paul was at the game, I believe, last night. Overall, are you feeling positive about it, Paul?
Aye, thanks for having me on. Hey guys, good. It was great atmosphere. But I'd obviously, like many other Rangers fans, I suppose, no, PSV are a different animal this year. I rate their manager as well. You know, he's got experience with Bayer Leverkusen and everything else, and he's got Champions League experience. So I thought it'd be a tough game. But I'll be honest with you, I think Rangers held their own. I think, maybe give you a bit more ammunition for your other callers to win, but I think PSV are a better team than Celtic, to be honest. And if we got 2-2 with them, I think that we weren't too bad. Disappointed with the goals we lost, to be honest, you know. But we restricted them. Thought Jack Butland was excellent coming out for corner kicks and things like that. Whereas McGregor maybe last year would have been punching him out. So I think he commanded his box really well. Just disappointed with the defending. That was my main point, just to say. I think one of the other callers had mentioned it as well, but you know, where I was standing in the Broomland, the amount of space at Tavernier and Barisic were, you know, it was like schoolboy stuff. I mean, the guy was unmarked away at the other end, and I'm just thinking, maybe it's a formation with a diamond shape or whatever, but they're giving a hell of a lot the midfielders to do, and one wee mistake from them, and then you get crucified for it. So middle to front, I think we're excellent. And I think once, like, hopefully Seymour will get a bit of confidence with that, Matondo will get confidence with it as well. So that's great moving forward, but definitely the shape of the back worries me. So I had a wee solution, whether it works or not, see what Kenny and that think. But I don't think Bill will do it right enough. But I'd put Tavernier further up, and I'd put Sterling right back, because I think he's a better defender. And I'll be honest with you, I'd drop Barisic. If Yilmaz was there, I'd have Yilmaz in. But the way I'm thinking is put Balogun down there. I've got more faith in Balogun defending than I do Barisic, to be honest. I know it takes a wee bit of the wingers out of the equation, but you're getting Tavernier in a better position. He prefers being up the pitch, and at least you've got protection at the back with Sterling.
In the interest of speed, Paul, I'm just going to kill it. I'm going to knock it in the head, because I know that Kenny Miller is not having anybody moving James Tavernier up the pitch. We always get it suggested he's a right back, he sees the pitch in front of him. That's what you're going to say, isn't it?
That's exactly what I'm going to say.
Right,
Gordon,
cool. Yeah. Because Paul made a lot of points that I know you will want to engage with. Is Jack Butland very quickly becoming a real favourite amongst the new signings?
When the signings were made, he was the one. I think even as a name, like, he's far more recognised than most that have been signed. But I knew he would be a hit. You know, Rangers needed a goalkeeper of that stature and what he's done in the game already to come and replace Alan McGregor. And he's been great, really, really assured right for the off. Like Michael says in his press there, Rangers don't get asked too many questions defensively. They don't get asked to defend, and the goalkeeper is kind of probably more of a spectator for long spells of games. Last night, or even in other games, anytime he's been asked to do something, he's done it very, very well. And that's the sign of a top goalkeeper. So, I think there's not going to be any fans over the course of this season phoning up and complaining about that signing.
Is that the key? You know, you want maybe at some point for your keeper to pull off this absolute, you know, world-class eye-catching save, and Alan McGregor did it in European nights. But actually, if you can also find someone that just, there's no drama there, and he's kind of doing everything right, or, you know, and is steady, and is that what we're seeing with Jack Butland?
Yeah, I prefer the latter of what you just said there, Gordon. You know, a goalkeeper that goes about his business knowing that, you know, he needs to keep the ball out of the back of the net, so he doesn't pull off the camera saves for you. He does things to the best of his ability and as simply as he possibly can. With Butland, listen, he's a goalkeeper coming through when he was younger, you know, spoke about so highly, people talking about him going to be England's number one. So the pedigree's there with him. I think what you're seeing now, he can pull off big saves. He's got that calm and influence as well, because he will come and, you know, come for crosses and come and catch it and take the pressure right off the defenders. There's nothing better as a defensive player when you look behind you and you've got a goalkeeper you can rely on. You know, he's going to come and he's going to help you when you need him to help. So as Kenny said there, I don't think you'll have a single Rangers fan calling up and complaining about him, because I think he's always going to be a, you know, 7, 8, 9 out of 10 across the course of the season.
Where are you on the attacking options, Paul? You could almost sense the frustration in Michael Beale's voice there. He's wanting a bit of time, and it's so up and down, isn't it? You look at the weekend, Matondo was one of the better players, so he's called into the squad, but he's left on the bench to start with. We mentioned earlier, Seymour's getting slaughtered and then he scores. Dessers for 4-0 Aston Villa. It's a hat trick for Ollie Watkins.
I'm going to say it again though, he could be offside.
I agree, I always agree with you again.
You know, Paul, a lot of people are criticising Dessers all round, but then his actual goal contributions are looking pretty good at the moment. Danilo wasn't given the nod to start, so there is a lot going on there. How do you feel about the attacking options?
Well, we've got to say to coaches, I go and see that Aston Villa game there, because their officer probably goes in, but...
the flag is up, I think it's three.
Frustrating sometimes, because they get themselves in good positions. I think it's just confidence, to be honest. I think Matondo's been outstanding, I have to say, the last couple of games, just the speed and whatnot, so some's obviously got his confidence up. Dessers to me just seems, I don't care anything, and Marvin, but... just seems clumsy at times. You know, he gets the ball and then he gets it stuck and things like that. So that's frustrating. But I'm hoping the likes of Seaman that build a bit of confidence and you know, that it starts to come together. And I think it will. You know, and a big thing, this League Cup, I think that plays a massive role in it, because that tends to be a cup where if you get that, you've got a new team together, you win that, the team just gets the lift that they need to then push forward. And I'm hoping, you know, that comes up before Christmas, so that'll hopefully put it in as well. But Dessers are still going up to speed as far as I'm aware, from what I heard. But I think we just need to sort out the back. That's what I'm worried. And just one wee point for Kenny. I know he won't like me saying it, but Kenny, Tavier can't defend. He can't defend. It's good going forward. But I'll argue with a lot of Rangers fans for that, but the guy cannot defend.
That's what I'm saying, but I'll respectfully disagree, Paul. Okay?
And even that still doesn't necessarily mean that the solution is to then just play him in a different place in the pitch. Anyway, that goal stands. It is Hibs nil, Aston Villa 4. Lee Johnson was just like, right, lads, go out, keep it tight for the first 5 minutes.
If this is Football Manager, you just turn the laptop off. Reset. Start again.
Right. On... Where are you on... There's a few to get through. The attack and pick one. Dessers is a good example.
I think Dessers was a better game for him. I absolutely agree with Paul in terms of... like, clumsy might not be the right word. The way I would say it is, when the ball's going in, it needs to tidy it up. You know, there is too many misplaced layoffs. There's too many... Even one last night, and it was early, he goes to lay it off, and he actually trapped it underneath his foot, and then he managed to pop it off a second touch. And I'm watching, and I can see exactly what he's done, and it looked actually okay, but he just needs to tidy the wee things up. You know... Michael was saying after he's starting to look sharper. Like, I think that's what it is. He needs to get sharper.
The contributions are there.
But exactly, because he's got goals. He's had a big hand in the well, two assists actually last night. Firstly with the press, then with the cutback, and the pass for the second goal. Like, that's not a player that's low on confidence, because that's not an easy pass. It's a lot of space to hit, isn't it? But to get the weight of the pass, so your teammate, all he needs to do is stride onto it and hit it first time into the back of the goal. It was a wonderful pass. I actually thought Cantwell should have went to Matondo first, because Matondo's rapid and he could have just gave him half a pitch to run into and go through one on one. But you know what? It turned out to be the right option, because had he played Matondo, it might have meant he would have needed to do something. It might have had more to think about.
Here's the thing though, I saw everyone raving about this pass, right? Until someone brought to my attention, you know what's coming here? It wasn't quite as good as the exact same one you hit for Chris Boyd at Rugby Park in 2008.
It was nowhere near.
Have you seen this video, Marvin?
No.
It is the...
You'll need to send me that, because I've actually... Because when I seen it,
exact same, but I think his might be better.
It's taken more guys out of the game, and there's a wee bit more feel to it as well. But by
going into it, Boydie.
But the finish, by the way, to see the finish. Left
must have been a perfect pass
smashed.
If he's got onto the end of it, Kenny.
But you know what? It was a good race. I can't remember who the centre back was, but no, I get it. I remember. You need to send me that one, Gordon. We've been looking for that one.
Thank you very much to Paul. It takes us up to this time of the night. Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun. For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football. there is a crisis, a full-blown crisis at Easter Road, but also in this studio, because we are hemorrhaging signed balls. It is getting out of control. The Thursday duo, I think it is, of Wilson and DL, I don't think we've had a single winner from the pundits on a Thursday. The box of signed balls is overflowing. That's how bad the pundits have been this season. So it's a good time to take advantage. 0141 951 1025. You must call before 7, and your chance to beat the pundit is next.
Tackle the headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Marvin Bartley and Kenny Miller are here. It's 0141 951 1025, or it's Twitter at Clyde SSB. The two former Hibs men are tearing their hair out. They don't have much between them. To begin with, it's still only four. There's sort of pre-season vibes to this, because Aston Villa subbed their goalie at half time. Yeah. I mean, they put another one on. I didn't mean they liked. That made it sound as if they were just going to chance it. Maybe he was injured. Maybe it's just one of, you know, maybe they felt they could afford to, and they can, let's be honest. An hour gone, it's 4-0 Villa. It certainly could get worse.
Yeah, well, I think Villa have kind of just taken the tempo right out of the game, like you said there. They come alive a little bit when they're attacking, but I think Hibs will just be happy with, listen, Villa, keep it along the back if you want, and let's go over 4-0, and, you know.
And please play the youth team next week.
Yep, exactly. It's an easy game for Hibs at the weekend as well. Livingston, oh man, banana skin. It's not great, is it?
That is not good. I mean, again, every time I look,
well, I do that famous game, that now infamous thing, look at you and say, you think the tie's over?
That is over, yes, because this will not finish at four, I don't think. Every time you look up, Aston Villa are bombing down their left flank, and they've got, I mean, you're talking about Tavernier spacing, like there's something going on here. There's a half a pitch for the Aston Villa players to run into on this left side.
It's headers again, weirdly. It's headers.
I think Villa have got 14 players on the pitch. We need to count them, Kenny. Something's not right here.
Anyway, we'll keep you updated in this really inspiring and optimistic fashion very soon. Keep your thoughts coming on Ibrox last night. We've done lots of that. And anything else that's out there, Celtic fans, a lot of talk about Rio Hatate's contractual situation today. Give us a call and we'll do this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
The standard of Beat the Pundit from the pundits has been woeful this season, I must admit. It's been poor, it really has. Anyway, let's play tonight with Darren, who's in Postle. How's it going, Darren?
Yeah, no bad, guys. How's it going? Is it okay?
Yeah, all good. You ever played before?
Yeah, I've played once before, and I've actually bet Kenny Moore before.
No, you did not, Darren. That is a lie. You'll be one of the few. I think one of the two, actually.
You don't lose often, but you have your moments. That's interesting. All right,
listen, it was the end of season game last year when I switched off. That must have been what it was. Honestly. I was on holiday the next day and I completely switched off.
Heads it will be, the rematch. Tails it will be, Marvin Bartley. You never know what you're going to get. A 0-1 week, he bounced back last week.
I want to know who Darren wants to play.
Darren?
Yeah, I'll take Kenny again.
Yes, Darren. Oh, yeah, I like that.
Fighting talk. Dropped my coin. Look at that.
Well, that's
a David Marshall.
What are my tails?
You are tails, yeah. It's heads.
Yes.
It's the rematch.
Good luck, lads.
Right, let's give Kenny some greatest hits radio to listen to. We'll do 30 seconds on the clock. Darren, just answer as many as you can and pass if you don't know the answer, all right?
Yep, no worries.
Right, let's go. 30 seconds on the clock and your time starts now. What player would Aston Villa supporters refer to as the Scottish Cafu?
Pass.
Who's got more Scotland goals, John McGinn or Kenny Miller?
John McGinn.
What Scottish team is known as the Gable Enders?
Pass.
In what month does this season's Scottish Cup final take place?
Pass.
Who was the last non-Old Firm team to win the Scottish Cup?
Hibs.
Moussa Dembele left Celtic for which club?
Pass.
How many teams are in League 2?
10.
And Neil Banfield is the assistant manager of which club?
Pass.
Okay, lots of passing in there. Let's bring back Kenny Miller. Kenny, can you hear us?
Sure can.
Same set of questions to you. Are you ready?
Yep.
Right, 30 seconds on the clock. Your time starts now. What player would Aston Villa supporters refer to as the Scottish Cafu?
Alan Hutton.
Who's got more Scotland goals, John McGinn or Kenny Miller?
Kenny Miller.
What Scottish team is known as the Gable Endies?
Montrose.
In what month does this season's Scottish Cup final take place?
June.
Who was the last non-Old Firm team to win the Scottish Cup?
Hibs.
Moussa Dembele left Celtic for which club?
Lyon.
How many teams are in League 2?
10.
Neil Banfield is the assistant at which club?
Rangers.
Darren, what happened there?
Smash me, I just got stage fright, I think.
Darren, I'm gonna call you Prime Sergio Busquets. It was ticky tacky from Darren. Pass. I've never seen, honestly.
Just want to get through the town questions. Fair play to him.
The ball retention was remarkable. He was popping it for fun. It was like one of those possession boxes that you guys do in the warm up. Unbelievable, Darren. Incredible. It's a bold tactic, Darren. I don't know if it's been enough for you. The Scottish Cafu, Alan Hutton. 1-0 Kenny Miller. Who's got more Scotland goals, John McGinn or Kenny Miller? I mean, he was bound to know this. Darren's got it in for you. He went John McGinn as well, but it is Kenny Miller. Yep. By how many?
One.
Two, I think.
Is it? No, I think it's one now.
Well, there you go.
Who cares? One or two, it doesn't matter.
It must have been a wee typo because I thought it's not Gable Enders, it's Gable Endies, and I had.
That's what confused me.
Oh, is it? I fixed it for the second question. We'll give Darren the benefit of the doubt. Maybe that's what threw him. It was Montrose 3-0 to Kenny. You
should have got this one right.
You went for the double bluff, didn't you? But it was June last season.
Yep.
But it's May this time, so it's still Darren passed that. Yep. I mean, Darren, guess May or June. It's usually May. 3-0 to Kenny.
I didn't have a question right enough.
Oh, Darren. The last Donald Firm team to win the Scottish Cup.
St Johnstone.
None of you got that one right. Moussa Dembele went to Lyon. I think Darren passed it.
Darren get anything right?
No.
It's the middle of the donut.
I've been there, Darren. You'll be back, mate.
10 teams in League 2 and Neil Banfield is the assistant at Rangers. It was a 6-0 for Kenny. How did you beat him last time, Darren?
I knew it was a lie. It was a lie. He did not do that.
Hold on, let's establish this. Honestly, did you beat Kenny before?
I swear I beat him before. I had to sign Bob,
wouldn't I? That's because you beat Gordiel, not me.
Right, what to do? Producer Chris is all across these things. Did I decide
to make it 2-1 then if we
want? You got to send that ball back, Darren, after that. First.
We need keep details. Him off the lines. We need details of Darren's previous victory because it is hard to believe, but he sounds like an honest man
to
me.
Sounds confident.
Honestly, he was passing it for fun, but it was a 6-0 for Kenny Miller. Darren, I like you. I like your style. So talk to us just as a football fan. Let's resign that beat the pundit to history. You're a Celtic fan. What's going on? What are you thinking at the moment?
I just think on Sunday there, it was just a bit off the boil. But hopefully just dust ourselves in and go again.
So sort of a one-off, if you like. No bigger concerns about where things are at the moment.
Nah, but when you go to Rugby Park and that as well, it's hard to play against teams that just sit in. Need to try and break them down, and there's not enough shots outside the box as well.
Yeah, it's been quite the week, hasn't it? For Celtic and the aftermath of that, Kenny, because only time tells you really if it is a one off and off the boil and things will be fine, or that's a worrying sign of a bigger picture.
Well, what it is that's one trophy gone. That's
well,
it.
That's so true. Exactly.
So in relation to being a Rangers player. Fan, Celtic player, Celtic fan, or any manager or coach, it's not a good thing. You know, it's a trophy gone. Yep. And what it does is, again, we've already had a Rangers fan on here tonight, they've already got Rangers lifting the trophy. You know, there's still a lot of work to be done, but what it does, it gives you a massive advantage, and it also gives other teams opportunities where they'll be thinking, you know what, there's a potential cup final place up for grabs here. So there's a lot of stakes. So for a Celtic perspective, it's no good, however you want to dress it up in a blips and one-offs or off the boil, it's no good thing when you lose a cup game and you're out of the cup. And again, it's Brendan's first one as a Celtic manager, so it's not good.
You want to follow a bad manager, really,
yeah.
Because Darren's right. You know, you come on at any time, phone this show anytime you like and say, it's hard to play against Kilmarnock. It's hard when they're so well set up. It's hard on that pitch. It's hard when it's dry. Yep, it absolutely is. The problem for lots of Celtic fans is Ange Postecoglou made it look easy last season.
And like you said, that is the problem. You know, but for Celtic, you know, I know a lot of people have been worrying about the performance, and rightly so, but for me, it's a one-off. You know, you look at the quality they have within that team. Are they the Celtic of last season? Listen, they've got some big players missing. Obviously, Alice Johnson wasn't at right back. Carter Vickers, Hatate didn't play. And obviously, Jota's left the club. So they're four massive players for Celtic. I don't think there's a huge worry. I think Brendan Rodgers would be saying to the players, well, listen, if we're not at it, this is what happens. Because, you know, Darren's right. Teams do sit in against them. But Celtic Football Club, you have to be able to break them down. And that's now the pressure on the players. Find a way.
But the reaction even from Brendan Rodgers, though, is I need more quality.
Mm-hmm.
So that suggests that he thinks it's more than just a bad day at the office.
Well, no, he's saying...
The squad isn't where he wants it to be.
Yeah, that is exactly that. And I think if it beat Kilmarnock, he'd still have the same, you know, outlook on it. We do need more quality. And I think, you know, Ange did it last season when he began to rest Pez. I think it was at Easter Road that Celtic lost when he put Scott Bain in goal when he was rotating the squad. I think it's probably for the people who are kind of controlling the budget. This squad at this moment in time isn't good enough. It's not where I want it to be. And I think Ange did that last season in terms of rotating it. Yeah. Brendan's just had the injuries this season and they've lost to Kilmarnock. So when he goes to the board now... You know, I need players. I need to bring players in. I've told you this. We've seen it now. Let's not make sure this doesn't happen again. You know, let's bring these players in before the window closes.
Because the difficulty there is there's a week left of this window. It's been open for months and Brendan Rodgers has been here for months, Kenny. So Marvin's saying he doesn't think it's, you know, suddenly changed because of one defeat against Kilmarnock. You'd like to think clubs are not that reactive. But I think Charlie McGrew was on with us on Monday and he said, no, but it probably has brought things into a bit of a... Maybe a sharper focus. Is that the way it works?
Well, again, does it really when there's 7 days left of the, or eight, 9 days left of a window? It needs to be pretty sharp now. You know, it should be right in focus. And there's been a lot of talk over even the last, even before the defeat at the weekend, about there will be players coming in. You know, there will be signings that are going to come through the door at Celtic Park before the end of the transfer window. But again, going back right to the start when Brendan was appointed, I was expecting more. And I've said it on the show and actually been hammered a little bit because they're saying that it was underwhelming. Well, I think this is the reason you're making these types of statements. Marv's just told you three or four players are missing for that starting or that strong starting lineup for last season. That suggests that Celtic are not as strong as what they were. I mean, I was just saying Jota, really. You know, but Johnston is a really, really... He hit the ground running coming in January and he looked a real, real good player on the right side of that defence. Carter Vickers is always a loss. He's him and Golton. When they're missing, Celtic and Rangers are not the same teams defensively when those two guys are missing. So, I wouldn't be overly concerned if I was a Celtic fan, but there just needs to be improvements. You know, they need to get players, better players in that are going to improve the starting lineup. Otherwise, you become standing still.
Thank you very much. He's actually gone. I was going to bring him back in, but he's away. He's away at practice passing that signed ball around the living room. That was my colleague Andrew McLean, who's at Easter Road, sent that message. I won't claim that good line as my own. I'm more than happy to give credit where it's due. But honestly, I'm going to play. So could neither of you hear that? You were both listening to Greatest Hits Radio.
Yeah.
I'm going to play it back for you. Just genuinely, thank them all. Apart from he went for the 50-50 on John McGinn and Conor Roy, which passed the rest. Incredible. It's what you lot needed though. That box of signed balls is getting out of hand. Peter is a Celtic fan on the line. How are you, Peter? Are you well?
I'm fine, Gordon, yeah.
Good man. What's on your mind tonight then?
Just sort of a question about Kenny and Marvin there. I see Rio Hattie has refused another extension of his contract. As far as the paper is concerned, right? I think, as far as I'm concerned, he's not been playing. He's not in the Celtic team now. He's not been playing well, and I think if Celtic, Brendan Rodgers, if any decent offer comes in, I would take it and get rid of him.
I'm more than happy to have it as a discussion point, and it was me that asked the question. I would then almost though, you always wonder when you see the headlines, does this mean Rio Hatate has walked in and said, I will never sign a new contract from this club, I am out of here either soon or when this deal ends, or can this be par for the course? Club tries to keep a player, they go, here you are, and he goes, nah, no thanks, and then they come back with something else. Does it mean it's the end of the road?
I don't think so. You know, players have rejected contracts in the past and then, like you say, signed them a few weeks later. I think we saw that with Goldson as well at Rangers, didn't we? Everyone thought he was going to leave the football club and then he ends up extending his stay.
That's true. Yeah.
You know, it's just, you know, 99% of the time it's not normally in the paper. So people see it and think that if somebody doesn't want to be at Celtic Football Club, it's too big a football club for anybody. I'm not just talking about Hatate, I'm talking about absolutely anybody. If they don't want to be there, then, you know, Celtic Football Club won't hang on to them. You know, they'll let them leave because there's so many players out there that do want to be there. You're never going to get the best out of a player who doesn't want to be there. I think for me, he is the best centre midfielder they have at this moment in time. I think he's absolutely fantastic. And if you're a manager at that football club, you'll definitely want to keep him. But like you said, Gordon, I don't think it's one of those things where it's the end of the road. I think he's enjoyed his time there so far. I think there's a lot more to come from him.
Just as Marv's talking.
Is that a penalty to Villa, is it?
Can he take over, please?
Yeah, well, listen, I'll fill in. I agree with Peter a little bit. I think Hatate has looked a little bit disinterested this year. You know, I don't... I just don't think he's looked the same type of player. Obviously, he's not been playing, which is not helpful. But
that's not getting overturned by VAR,
no,
that is
that
it?
Is not.
I think he's offside, Kenny.
Definitely no offside this time. Yeah, go back on Hatate. I don't think he's looked particularly happy this year. Just his body language, and I mean, I'm not saying he wants to leave, but I think if I'm correct, I think he's got a contract till 2026. So it's a long time to kind of
talking about that
at the moment, running things down. That's not going to happen. But if there was a good money, he was one of the players. I think when Ange left, oh, will he take Hatate? Would he take Kyogo? Again, I still don't think he would. But if someone else might, you know, if there was a good transfer fee there and there's somebody who maybe, like you say, going, it's no, I don't want to be here, I want this, he's just not signing a contract. You know, that's it. So, but I think there could be something in it, and whether it happens in the next 8 days or so, that remains to be seen. But I don't think Hatate looks particularly happy at this moment in time.
I mean, Peter, what has given you that impression? Because we've not really seen that much. I mean, he was left out of the first game. He came on at Pittodrie, went off injured soon after, so then wasn't available at Rugby Park. What makes you think his heart's not in it?
Oh, God, no. As I say, I'm just not sort of the same player as last year. Hatate was a player of the year last year with a lot of Celtic fans, and me as well. But something's happened to him. Now, can you ask me another wee question here?
Go for it.
Marvin, what's the problem with Celtic Football Club? We've got six defenders all injured. It's only 2 weeks into the season. What is happening?
Now, that is a good question, Mark. I'll be pleased if you can answer it. Come on.
I wish I knew the answer. Sometimes, Peter, it's just down to a little bit of luck, you know, whether... You know, football's massively, in terms of injuries, it is down to luck a lot of the time. Sometimes players are going to want to push back to play at the football club when maybe they're not 100% fit, but you can only go off what the players tell you, then, you know, have a reoccurring injury or whatever else it might be. Sometimes it's just a bit of bad luck. And unfortunately, at this moment in time, you do have a lot of players who are injured, and, you know, your main centre-half is injured. But listen, the players that are there should be good enough to fill in. You know, they're not there just to be squad players. Everyone that is at Celtic wants to be starting week in, week out. And, you know, their opportunities have came around because of injuries. So that now those players need to take it. They're there for a reason. They need to step up to the plate. And if Brendan deems them not good enough to be there, I'm sure he'll move them out. But as I said, it's an opportunity for the non-injured players because of the amount of injuries you do have.
Thank you to Peter. It's 01419511025. And on the subject of big numbers, it's 5-0 to Aston Villa now. That penalty was converted. And there are still 15 minutes to go. So a real sore one. We'll keep you up to speed on that. Get your calls in right now, and we'll give these two a full-time teaser next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Hear it. Watch it. Search the YouTube stream now. Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
It's still 5-0 to Aston Villa at Easter Road. Hopefully it doesn't get any worse from a Scottish perspective, and we'll give you a full-time story in the not-too-distant future. The good thing is, though, the production staff in here are delighted because Marvin Bartley's facial expressions have given them GIF content for the next five seasons, I think.
I don't even want to talk about it, Gordon. I'm actually going to check the rules about this 5:45 kickoff. I don't think it's right, mate. I don't think this game could be void. Yeah.
You'll fit in very well on this phone. That's the type of call we would receive.
I think it could be void, mate. I've not seen it before. So,
and you know why it is, don't you?
Yeah, because the Champions League can't be.
And the thing,
same time.
The thing that's gone against Tibbs is they finished below Hearts in the league last season. So Hearts get to keep the Thursday night slot. There you go. Anyway, right, we've got a full time teaser for you. With no disrespect, Marvin.
The full-time teaser with Sliding Wardrobe Solutions East Kilbride. Tackle your customers' spaces with made-to-measure wardrobes.
With no disrespect, Marvin, it is aimed more at Kenny Miller, I think. I just think it's more his era, his area. I mean, you know, Scottish football did exist before you came.
Yeah.
In 2015 or whatever it
was. I knew a few teams up here before that.
So just let's see how we get on. And it's a difficult one sent in by the Crazy Pony. Thank you to sending this in. Fulltime@clyde1.com is the address you need to provide the questions. Let's see if the pundits can provide the answers. Since 1994, bad start, four players that have played in Scotland have scored a European goal for Aston Villa. Can you name them? So since 1994, four players that have played in Scotland have scored a European goal for Aston Villa. The good news is John McGinn hasn't scored tonight, so we don't have to hastily add him to the list.
Stylian Petrov?
Wonderful. There we go. Stylian Petrov. And already you are 25% of the way there. Marvin, would you even know where to start on this
No.
one?
No, unfortunately not. And, you know, I kind of feel useless next to Kenny. But Kenny, that's a fantastic start for us.
That's an obvious one, though. I think that for me, 1994, that means there's going to be one back in 1994.
Well, what I would say is if there was a chance of Marvin getting any, it would have been the Petrov one, I think.
That's what I was thinking as well. But, you know, just Kenny too fast went ahead of me, yeah.
We found that clip of you in 2008 playing a serial Dessers pass to Chris Boyd. Whose was better, Marvin?
Kenny's. That's a fantastic pass. And because I was not expecting it from you, to be honest. Normally you shoot from that angle.
I'm eliminating opponents. That was the thing. That was just a pass into space, wasn't it?
Found the silver lining for you. Listen to this for a plan from David Gibson. If Hibs don't turn up next week, literally don't turn up, it'll only go down as a 3-0 defeat.
Who said that?
It's a clever play.
David Gibson on Twitter.
You should like that tweet. That's fair enough.
Okay, I will. Like. There we go. Sounds like a good plan to me.
It does. It does, definitely. Let's go down there and just time waste. And Villa don't want to play anymore anyway. They're just keeping the ball for the sake of keeping it.
Which is good, really.
I think so. I think Hibs are going to get a goal here, though. And then that makes it really interesting.
Based on
them not having a shot on target in the second half.
It can't be based on anything you've seen so far.
7 minutes to go.
It's been a tough school this, Kenny.
That is. This has not been a good night. You know, I think a lot of people would expected Aston Villa to be comfortable winners, but it's been a real mismatch. You know, I mean, Hibs actually done all right in terms of early part of the game, getting into dangerous areas like we talked about earlier. But Aston Villa have just been absolutely
should
ruthless.
It have been such a been bigger mismatch rather
financially? Yes, though, isn't it? I mean, that's the reality of it now.
It's a huge gulf. It really is a huge.
It's the reality.
I think with hindsight, would Lee Johnson maybe have tried to do something different in terms of his tactics? Like, who knows? But, 5-0, it's not a good scoreline at any level.
Well, you can do it by any metric you want, like, you know, the overall budget or whatever. But, I mean, this season, what was it? So everyone here is all amazed that Hibs paid 700 grand for Dylan Venti. I think Powell and Diaby, I read it earlier. I think they were brought in for about 80-90 million euros combined over the summer.
Oh, that should be a handicap scoring.
We're excited about 700 grand spent on Dylan Venti, who, with no disrespect to him, because that's the way it's been, we barely saw him involved.
Yeah, he was far too deep, so they couldn't get the ball up to him. But listen, it's one of those things. It's been a good run. Fans have had some good trips away.
That's it. It's coming. We've still got Birmingham to look forward to. No.
Yeah, oh no. Gordon, start talking.
Yeah, there we go. Good defending
by
Hibs.
That is.
In the end. So, yes, it is tough indeed. And it's a busy old week for European football, of course. We had Rangers last night, Hibs tonight, and on we go for some of the other clubs.
Yeah, big one for Hearts tomorrow. Like you said, they finished above Hibs. Keep reminding me of that. So, they are playing tomorrow. But hopefully, in all seriousness, I hope they can go through. You know, I always support all Scottish teams when it comes to Europe. I think it's fantastic for our league. I think for far too long it's been looked down upon. You know, so obviously the plaudits that Celtic got in the Champions League and then Rangers in, you know, that run to the final in Europa League as well, I think it's done wonders for our game. Obviously, you know, today what's happened. But no, I always want Scottish teams to go through. So hopefully Hearts can do that, you know, starting with a good first leg tomorrow.
Decent chance for Aberdeen as well, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know you're not going to have it easy, but in terms of the one opponent to play to get to a Europa League group stage, you would have taken Haken, wouldn't you?
Absolutely.
And I know that, like, you can play that back if Haken win comfortably. I'm not saying that's not going to happen, but you know what I mean.
No, listen, again, it's a decent draw. I think Hearts have got a realistic opportunity as well. Mm-hmm. They're games that they should be able to be. It's not like this game here, where you're against a team with that much more resources and things. I think it's a good opportunity for both our teams. And they're two good teams. I was at the Hearts game at the weekend, and I know it was against Partick, but they've got a really strong squad, Hearts.
Yeah.
Really, really strong squad. Looks at all these injuries and things that they had last season. I think maybe Barbig, Craig Halkett and Craig Gordon, they're on the way back. Their squad looks really, really strong. And for me, they're a good team. That's why I've kind of said I think they will be third this season. And Aberdeen, I've made a couple of good signings as well over the summer, and they finished the season obviously well, getting third. So it's, I think both our teams have got good opportunities. Hibs obviously have had the biggest task, there's no doubt about it.
I mean, he is a well-known comedian, so you would expect this level of wit, but Kevin Bridges has just tweeted saying Hibs looking sharp.
There's a time and a place, Gordon, leave him alone.
That's the best thing Kevin Bridges has done since he rejected Gordon DL's selfie request outside Celtic Park. You ever heard that story? Gordon asked him for a picture outside Celtic Park, and he said no. Just point blank refused.
It's poor, that though.
That makes me happy.
Not because it's him.
Yeah, Gordon deserved it.
Oh, honestly, I'm absolutely delighted with it. Let's bring in Richard in Livingston. How are you, Richard?
Not too bad. I'm pretty gutted about the Hibs loss at the moment, to be honest.
Yeah, not as gutted as Marvin, I must say. But yeah, it's a tough one to take, isn't it?
Aye, it's not so good. But
what about your own team, though? Does that cheer you up? I don't know.
I think we're kind of alright, but I'm worried about the kind of vibes that are coming off Brendan Rodgers. Like, we know we've got money in the bank. Like, absolutely. But they're in black and white. There's a couple of things I would say about the money thing as well, but I know it's the stock exchange, but I don't know if it's for this programme, but I think there's not one to go in the window. It almost takes like at least a few days to get a transfer done. I don't think we've really bought Brendan Rodgers' signings in. I don't know if that's how it works anymore, to be honest. But even the Rocky that we brought in, when Brendan Rodgers, everyone thinks that was his signing, but when he was actually interviewed about it, I think he said he'd seen him a couple of times, which doesn't strike me as being an absolutely Brendan Rodgers signing. And I just, there's a thing among the fans, and maybe it's escalated because of Kilmarnock. For me personally, it's not. It's just, I was waiting for things to happen in the window. And I think if we've not brought in three players that are oven ready to go into the first team, I think we need five, but if we don't bring in three by the end of the window, I think there's going to be
What sort of areas, Richard, straight into that first team? Because it's not often I stick my neck on the line, it just sets you up, and I'll leave that to the pundits, but Celtic aren't going to sign five starting 11 players in a week, are they?
No, they're not. That's what I mean. So I think three. But I think we need five. So we definitely need a striker, because we've got the Asia Cup coming up. So that leaves you without a striker at all.
I mean, to be fair, that's down the line, but they're not signing someone to replace Kyogo just now, though, are they, in the starting 11?
No, that I don't think that's an error. I think that's an error they'll bring somebody else in. I agree with Richard. I said that before on the show. I think they will bring in another centre forward, but not to replace Kyogo, no chance. And any striker that comes in has to know that they are second in line, which makes that signing, you know, ever the more difficult. Because if you're bringing, if you didn't have Kyogo and it's more of a, you know, an average striker, another centre forward coming in there will think, well, do you know what? I can get that start in place in the team. I think any forward going in there has to know, or they will know, that Kyogo is a starting striker. So it's then about getting your opportunities when they come. But, you know, let's be honest, the wee man doesn't miss many games, does he?
Yeah, what else are you thinking, Richard, areas that you think you want to see strengthened this week?
On the striker thing, we won't have O either during that period. So, right, so anyway, I think less urgently a goalkeeper, but we still need a new goalkeeper. Left back, centre midfield, left wing and striker. That was a five.
It's a lot, Kenny.
But I think if you break it down, striker, there definitely needs to be someone to come in to provide competition for Kyogo. And like Mar says, like, Kyogo as it stands now is the number one, and I'm sure every Celtic fan can't see a Celtic team without him in it. But if the striker comes in and shows he's going to be better, then any place, you know, it's as simple as that. The left winger, again, breaking it down, it's the replacement for Jota. You know, it's not happened. The midfielder...
Have signed Tilio and Yang. Saying they're as good as Jota. Yeah. But what do you keep doing? Just keep like...
Well, it's the numbers of wingers they have at the moment. Yeah. Yep. You know, that's going to take them far too hard. And I get this stuff with Kyogo, but how many opportunities are you going to get to prove that you're better than him? And by the way, if you come in, and we saw it with Giakoumakis last season, come in and you score goals, it doesn't matter. Kyogo's back, he's playing.
Yeah,
you
know? But no, I get it. But like, it's a hard sell for a player then. It's a hard sell. Yeah. You're coming to sit on the bench, if you're lucky, you know.
That's a difficulty.
So that's where it's what kind of player they're going to get. because anybody that's coming in that's going to be happy to do that, for me, you don't sign for Rangers.
Yeah,
you can't. Yeah. I know there is squad players and things, but that's why guys have actually left, because they're not happy just to sit and watch them. Kyogo play up front or whatever. The midfielder, I'm not so sure. I think there is still, if Fatati was to leave, that would be one you'd maybe have to sign someone else, but I think they're pretty strong in there. And left back has always been that area, not just left back, it's the left side of that defence, but two centre backs have now came in.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not, again, like you say, you're not going to just keep signing centre backs until you get one that fits. Like, they've signed two centre backs and these guys are going to be the options to play alongside Carter Vickers. But the left back, again, it's probably a bit harsh on Greg Taylor, but I just think when you're working any big club, or any club actually, when you're working through your squad, you start to look, right, where can I strengthen?
Does Burnaby get a look in at any point? By all accounts, we were getting calls in pre-season, people thinking that he was looking a bit better.
Yeah, but you also have to wait up. Yeah, again, like you're saying, people were saying he's looking better, but if you bring in another left back, then one of them has to go.
Mm.
You know, that's fine. You have to balance the sheets out here. You can't just have 3, 4, 5 left backs. So somebody's going to have to go in order to bring another left back in. It's the numbers as well. And Brendan, you know, if you listen to his interviews and when he speaks about coaching, he only wants to coach with a certain amount of players. You know, so I think he's already over that number if you count the Celtic first team. So you've already players out of that. So players, I think, are going to have to go for players to come in.
What do you think, Richard?
I totally agree that players have to go. That's been the case for like a couple of years, to be honest. We've got players on the wage bill that have just not contributed at all for a couple of seasons. As far as Hatate goes, I think some of the headlines are a wee bit, I don't know, I think apparently negotiations are actually still ongoing.
Mm-hmm.
And he had a really poor pre-season, to be honest, so I think that's why he didn't start. You know, they had stumbling, just to maybe give him a kick up the backside. But when he came on against Aberdeen, for those 20 minutes before he got injured, like, you can't say he wasn't committed, because he was.
Yeah, Richard, you know what? Sorry, I'm going to have to nip it there, and you make some great points that hopefully we can pick back up on another time, because we're fast approaching the break and it's full time at Easter Road. These 5:45 kickoffs are no use to us. Let's get a full time picture from Andrew McLean. Cover your ears, Marvin Bartley.
Yes, Hibs 0, Aston Villa 5. The full-time score, the golfing class between these two sides, very much evident here at Easter Road tonight. Hibs will have been relatively happy with their start, but the wheels started to fall off pretty quickly. Lee Johnson's side not covering themselves in glory defensively. Aston Villa showing their quality in key moments as well. The first one of those, 17 minutes in, Luca Dean's cross from the left onto the head of Ollie Watkins, and he did well to steal that one into the bottom corner for 1-0. Hibs tried to get forward and cause some problems and use their pace, but Martin Boyle found himself offside more often than not, really. Some bad decision making across the team as well, and they just couldn't really create any opportunities. The second Villa goal, that came 33 minutes in, Douglas Luiz with the corner, Diego Costa flicking that one on, and Ollie Watkins won the physical battle at the back post and headed in. Another goal came from another header, 42 minutes in. Luca Dean gets to the byline, hangs it up at the back post, and there's Leon Bailey this time to nod in for 3-0. Not great going into the break. Lee Johnson would have hoped that they could keep it tight after the break, but Aston Villa got forward down the left. 51 minutes in, Luca Dean the provider again, this time with a low ball across the box. Ollie Watkins converted. The flag initially went up for offside, but his hat-trick was confirmed following a VAR check. The fifth came from the penalty spot. Bertrand Traore turned Lewis Stevenson inside out. The defender then tripped him and the referee pointed to the spot. Douglas Luiz stepped up to take. Calm as you like, sending David Marshall the wrong way for 5. The second leg, of course, at Villa Park next week. Just as well we're sending our colleague Gabriel in case Hibs somehow managed to turn it around. The full-time score here at Easter Road, Hibs 0, Aston Villa 5.
Ah, he'll enjoy his night out in Birmingham, I'm sure. A young man full of life like him. If you want to call in about that Hibs game performance result, now's the time to do it. On the teaser, since 94, 4 players that have played in Scotland have scored a European goal for Villa. Stylian Petrov.
Is this Quella?
Just get Kenny to do this, yeah.
Yeah.
Nope.
Alan Hutton?
Nope.
No on both?
No on both.
Oh my goodness.
Okay, we'll get the rest of the answers, and Stuart and Kirkdonald is up next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Listen and watch. Check the Twitter feed at Clyde SSB. number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Marvin Bartley has not enjoyed his evening. It's been a tough night for Hibs. Hibs nil, Aston Villa 5. I mean, Kenny Miller's a former Hibs player as well, but you keep them close to your heart. I think that's where you've gone wrong tonight.
Yeah.
So if you want to give any thoughts, a 5-0. I see John McGinn is on TV getting high fives from the TV cast. He's obviously a big favourite up here in Scotland anyway, but not such a happy return from a Hibs fans' perspective tonight. On the full-time teaser, we're about to bring in Stuart. The full-time teaser tonight, very quickly, there are only four players who've played in Scotland at some point and they've scored a European goal for Villa. John McGinn's not one of them because he didn't score tonight. Petrov is, you got him.
Dion Dublin,
well done. Played for Celtic, of course, and scored for Villa against Rennes, if anyone is paying attention, back at the turn of the century. Okay, the two that I'll give you loose clues. One's a former Rangers player, one's a former Celtic player. Both scored for Villa in the mid-90s and then came to Scotland. Particularly one of them came to Scotland a good bit after that. It's not helped you at all, has it? You can send us a tweet if you think you know the answers. And don't forget, it's fulltime@clyde1.com to send your questions in. Please, Stuart's been hanging on for ages. I'm sorry, Stuart. What's your point tonight?
Hi, Gordon. Good evening, pal. Thanks for taking my call.
Pleasure.
Well, the main reason I wanted to phone in tonight was because one of the previous callers, after a brilliant battling performance last night and a decent result, one of the callers came on and decided to lambast Tavernier. You know, give the guy a break. Look what he's done for the club over his tenure at Rangers. You know, 102, 103 goals. God knows how many assists. He's saying he's no kicked a ball this season. I mean, what more do you want? You know, I mean, I thought Tav was okay. Oh, listen, he's no been at his best this season. But I thought, after that last night, honestly, I was incandescent with rage earlier on, and that's why I had to phone. I thought Rangers... I mean, let's be honest, before a ball had been kicked last night, most Rangers fans, if they're honest, didn't give us a hope. They thought PSG were going to put 3-4 by us. But I thought, you've seen last night, that was the Rangers team starting to click, starting to gel, starting to come together. I was on 2 weeks ago when it was Cammy and Marvin, and I said, I trust Beale, I trust these players will come together. And I seen a good glimpse of that last night.
Yeah, to be fair to the call, I think the caller did also acknowledge what Tavernier had done in terms of contribution to the club. But listen, let's not go round in circles on that one too late on in the show. So Stuart, overall then, were you happy last night? Did you see more positives than negatives last night?
100%, Gordon. First half, obviously not so great, but I thought Todd Cantwell carried us in the first half. His energy, his passion, his tenacity, you know, lifted the crowd, and the crowd were on board last night. And I was actually calling for Seema to get hooked at half time, and then he came up with that worldie in the top corner. I was like, wow. That was one of my main points the last time I was on. I said, usually when you sign a player a few million, you see a glimpse. I hadn't really seen any of it pre-season up to the Kilmarnock game. But my God, Seema, what a goal last night. Ravi Mitondo, he's turning into the player I always thought he would be at the start. Obviously, he's not had a chance. He's had injuries, whatever. But for me, I would definitely start Ravi Mitondo next week in the Phillips Stadium. Definitely. But yeah, on the whole, I was pleased last night because, as I say, if I was being honest, I wasn't hoping for much last night in terms of the result. I really thought PSV were going to, you know, come to Ibrox and impose our game, which they did. But listen, credit to Rangers. They were absolutely excellent. Connor Goldson, John Souter, even Barish, which I thought had a great game, and Michael Beale's substitutions were on point. They were on the ball. They were excellent.
The game as a whole is littered with examples of players who you thought weren't going to cut it at a club, and then they redeemed themselves. Can this be the start of something for Ravi Mitondo?
Listen, I think he's had a decent season, start to the season so far, and whether it be starting a game... Against Morton, I thought he looked a real threat. I really did. He just lacked that end product. So whether it be a cross, a cutback, he had a couple of opportunities to score that he never took. But it was a real threat. The type of player, again, that Rangers have not really got in terms of the starting lineup. He doesn't really play that type of player. Hence, at the end of last season, he was more playing as maybe a front two alongside Takala. So, but I think he's started the season pretty well. He's a threat at the moment. He might need to be that impact player. You know, there's no doubt, I think, after last night, Sean, and how he came on against Livingston, and I think in glimpses against Morton as well, he'll have a role to play next week, whether that's for the start or whether that's coming off the bench to impact the game the way he did last night. There's no doubt he's worked his way into Michael Beale's plans, that's for sure.
Yeah, what does he need to do then to become a starter, or is he pigeonholed as an impact player just now?
No, become more consistent, you know, with the positive things that he brings to the game, as Kenny's speaking about there. I've said it before, I think, you know, we're far too quick in this country to write players off. And sometimes, you know, you're not going to get the finished articles. So Matondo's a typical example of that. You know, we know the pace that he has, but at times he is inconsistent. Listen, if he was going past his man and putting in the perfect cross every time with the pace that he has, he'd be worth probably £30 million. So, you know, Beale has players at the club that he needs to make better. And yes, they need to make themselves better also. But, you know, for me, he is one that, you know, offers that pace. Now, with Sakala going, I don't see anybody else who can do what he can do in terms of, you know, when he is on the pitch. But consistency is going to get him in that starting team.
Look, there's no point in getting too far ahead. I'm not trying to spin it into some sort of negative, but you'd be interesting already to see then the next team, because, you know, the next starting 11, because Matondo does come on and make that impact. Seema scores that wonder goal, but Stuart's saying, well, I was desperate for him to get hooked up until that point. So you just wonder, you know, what are we any closer to knowing what Rangers' strongest combination is?
For me, no.
From the start of a game?
For me, no. I still think there's nobody done enough to earn that yet. You know, you have to earn that right to be not a guaranteed starter, but, well, you become a guaranteed starter by your performances.
Yeah.
You know, that's why I think most teams throughout football, there's probably eight guys that you'll say, no, they'll be playing, you know. And that probably is the case for Rangers, but it's the two, three guys that are in that front line are kind of all jostling for position at the moment. And there's none of them really grabbed that shot and made it their own. But what there is weapons there, you know, and I think all of them have got no bad numbers at this stage, you see, in terms of goals, in terms of assists. I mean, that was Ravi Mutondo's first goal for Rangers last night. So you're hoping that could kick him on. Maybe he's still 22.
That's,
you know,
he's
moved on for so much money as a young kid as well. And there's just so much probably weighty expectation on him that he's still a young man, and he's probably never really been a regular anywhere he's been. So he still needs to earn that right. He still needs to show that he's ready for that. But there's no doubt that the kid's got ability, and he's got an asset that we would all love to have, which is that lightning pace.
Quickly, Stuart, because we're out of time almost, are Rangers going to do the job next week?
Yes, I firmly believe we'll go there and we'll do a number on them. I think obviously we're going to have to absorb a lot of pressure. Obviously they're a good team, good players are going to come at us, but I truly believe after last night's performance, you know, we'll go over there and we'll get the job done. Definitely.
We will find out. Thank you very much to Stuart and Kirkdonald. Right, before you go, I need to get your final thoughts on the Hibs.
No, just go on to the teaser.
Well, listen, you won't be any better at that, so careful what you wish for. Come on.
Listen, there's a second leg to come. Anything can happen in football.
Stop it. Stop it right now, Kenny. Bring some sense to this.
Yep, it's tie over. It's been a good journey for Hibs. They've got through two rounds. They've faced a formidable opponent, and there was always probably, I felt, going to be a step too far.
Yeah. How'd you approach the next leg?
Just as a single game. Forget about the first. Like Kenny said, in terms of a tie, it's over. You have to go there and embrace the second leg. It's, you know, a stadium that a lot of these players might not get to play in again in their careers, and to go out there and put a positive performance in. But what they can't do is go to Villa Park and go through the motions, because, you know, you'll come out with, you know, worse than a 5-0 defeat.
Milo Lorimer on Twitter has the two answers you are looking for. Can you name four players that have played in Scotland and have scored European goals for Villa? It's since 1994. And by the way, thanks again to Sliding Wardrobe Solutions East Kilbride. Make sure you check out their trade counter on Colville's Road. And if you want to send a question in, it's fulltime@clyde1.com. So you've got Dion Dublin, you've got Stylian Petrov. I told you there's one former Celtic player, one former Rangers player remaining.
Tommy Johnson.
For Celtic. One. Brilliant.
Wow. Yeah. I know who that is, though.
You do?
Yeah. I know who that is.
Played for Kilmarnock as well, actually.
Yeah, it was, Rangers won. What kind of year are we talking here?
Do you know, he came up to Rangers towards the end of his career. So it's not that long ago. I'm trying to think of you.
Phil Barsley.
Because you've got a dozen spells at Rangers. Scored a memorable goal against Celtic.
come on now.
I think he was a defender.
Ah, Hugo Eggehog.
Hugo Eggehog.
Yep.
Wow. We done well with that, by the way.
We. The word we is doing a lot of heavy lifting.
We done well today, Kenny.
Yep. And assist master. That. Thank you very much to Marvin Bartley and Kenny Miller. Thank you for keeping us company. Thanks to all you for your calls and your tweets and for listening at home and watching as well. Hopefully you're still enjoying the live stream. I'm referring to it less and less because I don't want to really keep reminding Marvin that he really should turn up in something better than his Queen of the South tracksuit. But there we are. Like and subscribe on YouTube. Hope you're enjoying it. We are back tomorrow with two men who were made for the big screen. Said nobody ever. It's Gordon DL and Mark Wilson from 6. And up next, music from Gala and Ed Sheeran with Callum Gallagher.